Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When family is all that matters, make sure they're protected. Visit Zurich.ie to learn more about life and serious illness cover.
Tweet at Drive Time RTE.
Passengers ingesting cocaine from a table and a teenage girl threatened with a machete were just two of the complaints made to Irish Rail this year. And in a recent report by Transport Infrastructure Ireland, Irish women expressed fears about walking to and from stops and stations and of harassment on buses and trains. Well, for more on all of this, we're joined by Dermot O'Leary, General Secretary of the National Bus and Rail Union, and Olivia Kelly, the Dublin correspondent of the Irish Times. And thank you both for joining us this evening. Dermot, I might come to yourself first. And pretty shocking complaints, really. Passengers seen snorting cocaine from a table in front of people on a carriage. A teenage girl threatened it with a machete, and that's just two of the complaints. Are you surprised at them?
Yeah. No, I'm not. Anything that's been said in relation to the type of behaviour that's been witnessed across the rail network and indeed the public transport network over the last number of years is no surprise to me and my members who work on the front lines there. And I suppose look, there's some start figures here, and I won't bore people with figures, but certainly go right back to 2013. There was 281 instances of any such behaviour on Irish rail trains. That's 281. In 2019, it was 1,137. And last year, in the middle of a pandemic, when capacity for most of the year was 25%, it was 2,300. And 70 of those were either on staff members or contractors, which I presume is private security. And the MBI, who've been calling for many years now, Sarah, at this stage, for the dedicated guard of public transport division. And again, those calls have fallen on deaf ears. And it's time, long since past time, that the political establishment and the political parties, and people from political parties, all parties and none, need to step up to the plate here. We have all people on the front line. And the Cork Dublin route is the one that's in the focus the last few days. Those people are terrified coming to work at this stage, and something needs to give here.
So a big increase then on the basis of those figures you've just quoted to me of antisocial behaviour. Do we have any idea what's driving it?
Well, again, look, I mean, society, I suppose, the way society's gone these days in terms of the type of behaviour that we're witnessing across society. But I suppose there was a time in public transport where you could identify hotspots in a number of high-profile areas. It's now visiting every community in the country, whether it's a train or a bus, and we've had people being assaulted, practically on a monthly basis at this stage. And again, I suppose, look, I sat on the Railway Safety Council a number of years ago, which was an advisory council, and we wrote to the department, on request from the department, by the way, following on from the MBIU campaign and the dedicated guard of public transport division, and that council recommended back in July 2018 that there should be establishment of a dedicated transport police. That hasn't happened to date. The problem for government speaks about antisocial behaviour in general and talks about maybe looking at legislation to give Garda more powers. Certainly that's something that needs to be fed into that program for government debate, or that debate around that issue program for government. But there are people that work in the industry and people, as you alluded to, that travel, and they are terrified. And we're trying to encourage people as a society to use public transport and the carbon footprint and all that, rightly. So how in the name of God are we going to do that if people are reading these type of headlines and people are actually being assaulted on a daily basis?
And what would a dedicated transport police do that's different from what's in place at the moment?
Well, what's in place at the moment is, I suppose, in by and large, in both the trains and the high-profile Lewis, is private security firms who don't have the, I suppose, the powers of detention and arrest in the first instance, and they are contractors. Again, it's not working because the assault has gone up year on year, as I described. In terms of the Gardaí themselves, we have support from the Gardaí representative bodies. Indeed, the AGSI have been very strong in their support. Resources, I suppose, they would need resources to be from the Exchequer, to be able to set up that dedicated guard of public transport division. But what it would do, Sarah, and what has done in the UK and Canada and parts of Italy, it has reduced some of the behaviour that we've been witnessing on our train services in those areas. And indeed, I suppose, look, I'll let you go one other stat, if you don't mind. In terms of the British Transport Police in 2019, they had a budget of 318 million. Now, when you look at the size of the railway in the UK compared to Ireland, that would translate to about a 46 million budget here. Back in 2019, Irish Rail had a budget of 4 million for security in the train. So we're way behind in terms of dealing with this. And I'd say to politicians on this show and any other show, and give them the opportunity, that are you seriously waiting for somebody to be seriously injured or worse before you do something here?
Okay, well, we also have Olivia Kelly on the line. And Olivia, another of those complaints that was put in from passengers, as I mentioned, was a teenage girl who was threatened with a machete. She said she was 19 years old. She said three teenage boys continuously threatened her and made inappropriate sexual comments. And she claimed that one of them said he'd hit her with a bottle and a machete if she didn't talk to him. Were you surprised at that?
Yeah, I am actually. I'm surprised at the extremity, you know, the report that I had written a few months ago that you referenced there, the Transport Infrastructure Ireland report, it more focused on that, on a sort of low-level thuggery, really, rather than those extreme assaults or other extreme activities, such as openly taking cocaine on public transport. But what it showed was that even those sort of, you know, low-level fears stopped women from using public transport.
Mm. And I want to get into some of the details of that report in just a second. But I understand you yourself, you choose to only cycle. You don't use public transport. Why is that?
Well, actually, I have to be honest, that's largely convenience. Bicycles are the fastest way to get around Dublin, so that's why I use them. But, you know, anyone could do that, but not everyone does. And Dermot referenced it there a little earlier, that, you know, the sort of behaviour on public transport that puts people off shifts people into cars, and that's a big concern as well. You know, we need more people feeling safe, feeling able to use public transport, because that's the only way you're going to stop perpetuating a car culture.
Yeah, and interesting when you say people. Actually, the Transport Infrastructure Ireland report would suggest that it's women to a large extent who are shifting away from public transport. I wonder, could you tell us, talk us through some of the details? Because I believe more than half of women, for example, surveyed in that report said they wouldn't use public transport after dark.
Yeah, it was very interesting, because when you look at their answers to questions, very few women had experienced assaults or had experienced, you know, the sort of instance that Dermot outlined there earlier. You know, violent behaviour on public transport was low, yet the fear that people had was very high. And as you say, more than half of women said they wouldn't use public transport after dark. And a lot of that as well wasn't on the public transport services themselves that the fear originated from. It was the going to and from. So it was the walk from your Lewis up a dark lane to the main road, or where your bus stop ends and you have to get from there to your house. And, you know, Dermot mentioned the need for transport police, but there's a lot that planning can do as well. Better planning, so that when people are getting off public transport, they're in a well-lit space, that the public transport stops are surrounded by shops and activity and that sort of thing, so that people are feel safe when they get off.
Just finally then, Dermot, on this, I wonder, can you give me an example of, say, one of those two incidents that I've talked about there? You know, you're sitting in a train and the person opposite you decides to put out cocaine on the table and start ingesting it in front of you. What recourse do you have? What level of security do you have? Where can you go, or what can you do as a passenger in that situation?
Well, the experience from my members, and that was on the Cork Dublin line, and again, people that are around as long as me and maybe longer, remember the catering dish beyond the trains provided directly by Irish Rail. A lot of those people would have worked in network catering, and they're telling me, again, I had a phone call yesterday telling me that the days that they're working and I'm going with a smile on their face to work is gone. But in that scenario, I have to be very honest here with the people, the staff, all they can do is walk away because they've been told by us not to get in yourself in a position where your own safety and that of the passengers is compromised. Certainly, our members do ring Gardaí, and there has been instances where trains have been stopped. But when you're talking about crime at that level, you're in a very serious place then. And I suppose, to be fair, the dedicated Gardaí Public Transport Division that I'm campaigning for, and have been campaigning for on behalf of my union for many, many years, is to deal with the antisocial behaviour, this drug culture, and that drug corridor between Cork and Dublin that our members know full well operates. is something that really needs to be tackled at a higher level again.
All right, we'll leave it there for this evening. Thank you both very much for joining us. That's Dermot O'Leary and Olivia Kelly. Now, do stay with us, because up next, we're going to be talking about gaming among children, and when do you know if it's a healthy habit or if it's an addiction?